Guess what time it is? It is Teague's Take Wednesday. I teased last week on where I was going to be at. Man, I am on location this time. We are out at the Lantern Street. Y'all got to come see me out of 6205 Court Road. How you doing over there, Calvin?
I'm doing good, George.
You're looking good. You're looking good, my brother. He is a Ravens fan, as I told y'all before, so I just have to get over it a little bit, sitting here as a Cowboy fan, getting ready to play a big game this week. But here we are at another great night. Man, you know, we pre-COVID, we're out on location. I'm doing it at another location, at another bar. But this was closer to home and closer to school, so this is a place that I come and indulge. I'm sorry. A place that I just come and relax and have some wings and things of that nature on occasionally. So if you're ever out in the area, please come on out and have some food and drink with them. They do karaoke on Wednesday nights as well. Well, really, Wednesday through Sunday. So after this, at about 10 o'clock, they start doing some karaoke. So we're going to get in before they start singing and dancing and all the other shenanigans that happen out here at the Lantern. This is a very special episode for me. For one, you know, I got to know the gentleman that you see sitting here. Normally we have the single screenshot for those of you that are watching it live. If you're listening to it via the podcast, we appreciate you for doing that as well. But it's a very special one for me. One, because this is the Bama UT week. I got a good guest on here that is, I'm going to call him opinionated or factual, or I don't know what the word is, but he speaks his mind, let's put it that way, about all of it. And he tells the truth, you know, about how he feels and things of that nature. I was fortunate enough to meet him a few years ago. I guess it would have been about four years ago. Came over to coach at JP2. He was working as a coach at the Episcopal School of Dallas. We managed to pull him over to come over and be an offensive line coach for us now as a run game coordinator at JP2. And he's got some other things that we want to talk about. But before we get into that, you know, I don't want to be too serious about my run out this time. I really just want to know what's going on with the way people drive. I don't know if it's just because of the times or what it is, but it just seems like people don't know how to drive.
Dude, it's getting worse. It's getting worse every day I come home from practice.
Man, who are you telling? That might be you, because you're rushing to try to get home, JT. So maybe it's your fault.
I strongly believe that the people who drive now, I think they were born with driver's license, because they don't know. They're just out there. They're just winging it. So, yeah, I know exactly how you feel, JT.
It's bad. So I was just coming over. And so, you know, left-hand lane is supposed to be for passing. Right. I don't think that's changed any.
It hasn't changed, like, how you're actually supposed to do it. But it's changed by the actions of people.
Well, and that's what I'm getting to. And when I want to drive fast, I get in the left lane. I was in a hurry. I was trying to get over here to the bar and get set up. And I'm in the left-hand lane, and this car was eagerly trying to get in front of me on the left-hand side. So I slowed down, got over, and I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe they're going to turn left or go somewhere or whatnot. And they don't even go anywhere. They just get in front of me and start going slow.
Yeah.
So now, luckily, I don't ever have no road rage, but that was the first time it happened on my way over here today. And I was like, okay. This person's in a van. They don't know what they're doing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Chalked it up. I end up doing what I ain't supposed to do, get on the right-hand lane to go around them, pass them. Well, shortly after that, another car jumps right in front of me, does the exact same thing to the left. So now I'm angry, and I'm glad that I was able to get here without doing something crazy. So
that's good. That's good. That's definitely good.
So I just didn't know. Is that something? So the person that you see sitting here with us, his name is Jonathan Scott. He is a large human being. He played at Texas, University of Texas, between 2001 and 2005. Played in the league 13 years?
Oh, 10.
10 years. 10 years. Hey, you made the 10.
Right.
There's a big difference between 9 and 10.
True.
Facts, so true. Right? True. Most people don't know that. There's a big difference between 9 and 10. You know, so we're blessed to be able to have him here with us, one, so we can talk about this Texas-Alabama game and maybe hit on some highlights of what's going on in the National Football League as well. So y'all please welcome Jonathan Scott to the show. The next person I need to bring in, he's sitting behind the camera. I don't even know if he's there yet. He did say he was going to walk off and go get a
adult beverage, capital B beverage.
I didn't know if he was going to get some baby milk for the baby, or whatnot. But the analytical one is on with us tonight. He is opinionated as well, and I think you guys know that. But he's very analytical. He studies. He tries to put facts behind it too. He's just not rambling most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time.
Until he comes to the house and he just has something stuck in his side and he just wants to get some stuff off his chest. So we're welcoming JT to the show as well. So let's go ahead and jump into this. I want to go ahead and start on the Texas.
Let's do it. Let's
Bama do it. Thing, right? Yeah, so yeah. Texas, I mean, Bama's coming to Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Saturday, 11 o'clock game.
Yeah.
For some reason, the Million Dollar Band, that's the name of our band, is not coming.
What?
Because
too hot?
No. Uh-huh. Because Texas.
They ain't got no seats for them.
They put the band, the designated seats for our band, to be up on the upper deck.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that sounds about right.
So what's up with this trying to pick on fans, man?
That's nothing new. That is nothing new. Professional teams do it. College teams do it.
Like, they don't put them up on the top row, though. Every college game, they're in the corner of the end zone.
Well, I mean.
But they're not up top deck.
Yeah, I think it's probably because of the Texas alum says, I'm not giving up my seats for no visitors. So, you know, Texas fans are they're prideful. So, I don't know. That's a different one. But, you know, we need as many limits of distraction as possible. Because, I mean, that's going to be a tough ball game. Very tough ball game.
Don't you think that's wrong, though? I mean, just I'm thinking of integrity. You don't go to other stadiums when that happens. I know you said Texas has been known to do this for a little bit or for some years. Mm. But it just seems so unwelcoming to be the type of school that they are, that you guys have had. And you're just like, you know, we got to get a few extra dollars. They don't need extra dollars.
Well, that's true. Well, I can say this. I definitely don't know the particulars or logistics of it, but I can say this. I'm a dry snitch on someone else. So I remember when we played at Nebraska, they tried to subconsciously beat us by putting in pink towels in the locker room. Pink towels. They had pink everything, pink towels, pink pre-wrap, you know, the tape. Uh-huh. Like, they just put pink everything.
Were they little?
Yeah.
You couldn't even wrap yourself up?
Like, yeah, it was like hand towels. Like, we had no bathing towels. And so they did that, and then they kind of like messed with us psychologically and said, oh, my God, you're such a good football team. I'm like,
who won the game?
Before and after.
No, who won the game?
Oh, we won. We won. We definitely won.
Was it a beatdown or like?
It got close. It got out of hand. Well, I'm not going to say got out of hand. We took control of it in late third quarter. So
okay,
it worked in our favor. So maybe it's just psychological to see where Alabama goes. You know, who knows? We need everything we can get because that's a tough ball club.
He said OU wouldn't do that. You can't see the comments that are coming through. But
OU would be worse. They would treat us worse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh.
So, JT, what do you think about this whole band thing? It's just funny to me that this is the news. It's not about Sark versus Saban.
Yeah.
Huh. It's not a, you know, team versus the SEC. We're talking about bands not having seats and not traveling. Is that an indicator of the way the game is going to go? Or
I think it's hilarious. No, I think there's other things. There's other news that it might be indicative of how the game's going to go. But the band's not it. I think it's just kind of hilarious. I know they're not the only school that does that. But
it might be a prerequisite for, like, you know, some tension in the future because, you know, Texas is going to be coming to the SEC. So maybe let's just get back to the old days when Texas used to play Alabama in the day. So I don't know.
I want to know on the return leg. So next year, Texas has come to Alabama, right? So is Alabama then going to be like?
I would assume so.
Yeah. So is Alabama going to be like, yeah, hey, your band got to sit up there now too? Or
oh yeah, yeah, they're going. Yeah, they're definitely going to do that. Yeah, they're going to stick it to us. Yeah, they're definitely going to do that.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they'll do that.
Well, we will see.
Yeah.
But anyway, so as players, and both of you guys are athletes, does it this is this like bulletin board material, the other piece? Hey, they're disrespecting us in some kind of way, not letting our band come. Because it does change the atmosphere of the game, right? If your band's there and you're playing the music, and now mm-hmm. the only band that's going to be there is yours. So...
No, I think the atmosphere. I think let's say we were at HBCU, and you said you couldn't have our band.
That's foul.
Yeah,
that's foul.
That would, that would be because that kind of band brings a different kind of energy. So, because I you know, don't get me wrong, you know, the Texas band is a very precision type band, but I'm so locked into the game. I don't even notice the band.
No, and I'm going to disagree with you there because I would think about if you go to your high school football game, right?
My high school was like an HBCU.
That's different. That's different. Too.
Okay.
And there's no music.
Okay.
That's right. Normal.
Right.
Yeah, right. But no, there's a difference with nothing at all.
Right. Yeah, right. Crickets is definitely, it is different. I will give you that.
You score a touchdown.
Oh yeah! Now there's no fight song because you know they're not gonna play it. They're not playing over the PA.
PA system.
No, they're not. You know they're not.
Who gonna hit the button?
Maybe that's what they're negotiating. I don't know.
You know, what do you do for run out? I mean, are they gonna play? So
it don't matter. You're not gonna be able to hear nothing anyway. All you're gonna hear is booze, even if the band was there.
That's true.
They're you know what? We used to bring out our own speakers. When we went to certain places, we brought our own speakers. Yes.
What?
Yes. We brought
you talking about
massive
like ESD speakers. Or you talking about like at Texas?
I'm in Texas. We had massive speakers that we brought on the road just in case if to get our guys going, we had our own speakers.
I don't know about that, JT.
Yeah, I mean, had to make it happen.
Okay, so what do we think about the game? I don't want to get to a point spread just yet or what you think the score is going to be. I think – well, let me give you my opinion, and you guys can tell me if I'm wrong or if you think I'm right. I think that our defense is going to play well. They do have the Dijon Bijan, Mustard Man. Don't try to be – slick and try to get through there. But I think that our front six, seven is we're going to pack the box and force the quarterback that's only played his second college game mm-hmm. have to try to beat us with his arm. And I don't think he'll be able to do that. I think we'll make him get into some mistakes. Maybe cause turnovers, maybe not, but get some three and outs. And we'll do what we need to do to get a lead and keep it and win the game based upon their lack of experience at quarterback and all the strength that we have on defense. All right. So what am I going wrong, JT?
You're not. I don't think. I think Quinn Ewers can be a good quarterback. It's just like you said, game two. That's the defense you want to see game two. I mean,
yeah.
Bo Nix is year five or whatever and still getting smacked around by Georgia's defense, and he has to play Georgia every year. You know, it seems like that's a bad spot to be in your redshirt freshman season, even if you're at home. You know, I think that's tough. That's tough. And I don't know what Scott thinks about Texas's O-line, but I don't have the faith in them that they've actually taken a step forward like they said they did.
I'll definitely be brutally honest. You know, based off of last year's, what I saw, You know, they got to win the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's going to be the biggest challenge for the, like, out of all the matchups, that's going to be the biggest, that's going to be the biggest challenge. How does Texas front linemen, offense and defense, compete against Alabama? They're bigger, they're stronger. They have a legacy of just dominance, and it's all about how they respond. So where does Texas come in to potentially win the ball game? We saw it with FSU and LSU.
The past
Sunday. Special teams, right? If Texas can be put attention to detail on all the things that's necessary in the special teams and playing the field correctly, that's where Texas could come around and potentially come out with a victory. But if Alabama's on point, and I'm pretty sure Saban and his crew is they're on top of it. They do that, you know, it's going to be a difficult win for Texas. I'll just be honest.
Well, I 100% agree. The spread is
20
points.
20, yep.
Is it too big? Or
with no band, that sounds about right.
Well, real quick, we got a viewer question before you weigh in on what the spread is. Says, who should Alabama's secondary be more concerned about, Jatavion Sanders or Xavier Worthy? I think the answer is Xavier Worthy.
I would say Xavier Worthy. He was a man-child last year. He's definitely the one that I would be most concerned about. From our secondary standpoint, JT, I don't know how much of the game you watched.
I tried to watch all of it. The second half, I got a little bored. I'm not going to lie. The second half, I did get bored. And
yeah, I wanted to turn it too, but
I did. Well, I got me a second screen so I could go look at Notre Dame and Ohio State and what was the other game that was going on? Florida and Utah.
Yeah, that was a good game. Getting back to their wide receivers, I think we're okay in the secondary. I feel better about our secondary than I ever have. But what I saw in the game, and maybe I'm being nitpicking, I'm always trying to find something. It's still, and I think we talked about it in one of our episodes, just alignment that they show over the slots, that we always line up outside of the slot guys. Doesn't matter unless they're way, way out there. Utah tried to do that. I did notice that because if there are four wides or a number two displaced, meaning he's out in the slot for you non-football folks, we put the safety or the nickelback outside of that guy. Typically, we're in some type of man. So if you go back and look at it, the slant to the number two wide receiver is like always open. Mm. This quarterback was just missing it most of the time. We did talk about this last year that, you know, it's just a hide or a disguise. And, you know, maybe we're trying to cover the bubble routes or any kind of outside screens and all this kind of stuff. But we weren't very good at covering a slant, even in this game, the Utah State game I'm talking about. So that concerns me a little bit when you have a better group who can expose us on that part. That's the only thing that I'm really worried about with it.
And I think that's the we would hope that the advantage that Texas has is that Sark has, you know, he's gotten to work with that, with hate saving and understand tendency. So I'm assuming that the preparation is I would assume is pretty uber intense because, you know, they're getting the whole state riled up about this. So, and it's kind of like a pre-marker for the SEC. So I truly believe Texas is going to give their best effort, you know, come Saturday.
I think so.
I got a question with you saying that, you know, they're getting the state riled up and trying to figure out what they're going to do when they get into the SEC. Like, if this game goes sideways and Texas ended up getting blown out, what ramifications do, like, is Sark automatically, like, just on the hot seat then?
No.
Nah, nah. No.
I think the boosters come saving.
Like every university. Come on now. I know a couple of old guys in Alabama, tech guys in Alabama.
What do we got in Alabama that we can talk about on how they make money?
To be honest, I have no idea how they make money.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
billionaires know how to make money.
There's some money around there, but...
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they don't have money. I'm just saying I don't know where it comes from.
It's legal to do what they have to do.
Oh, no, I'm not, right? I'm not saying they're doing any kind of nefarious type stuff. No, I'm just...
If Sark loses this game in a bad way, I really don't think people will jump ship. They're going to say, okay, now we know we got to get ready. This is what we're about to go into.
You know, because it, like, for me, my biggest question has not been answered yet is, where is the grit from those Texas players? Who are they? Will they show themselves? Will they be the tough guys that like to get bloody? You know, because Alabama is that, and they're the